This work? Everyone can hear me?
Yes.
Wow, I'm so excited because some of you know me, I'm Italian. And when I speak, I use hands and arms and limbs and stuff, you know? And so now I have yet another one free, so I'm super excited. That's amazing. Is this your phone, man?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah, so, you know, like, I don't know, if I thought I was high strung already with one arm, like imagine another now. Whew! Okay, that and an amazing Guatemalan cup of coffee. It is really good coffee. Pete brewed it. He broke into it this morning. Was that you?
Well, it was already open there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So, Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the Furs, God, and what you've put on them, Father. And we just bless them as a house. We bless them, Lord, as support to them. In Jesus' name, not just financially, but also prayerfully. I thank you, Lord, that just as much as we can pray for them and bless them and all the things they go through every single day, they can probably do the same for us all that much more, Lord, just because of, Lord, I believe that your heart is for this nation. And I believe that your heart is for, well, all nations and everyone, and no matter what we're going through, God, you are there. You want more of us as you're jealous for us. And you've called us to lay it all down. Not just on what we might perceive as the front lines, but it's always front line. Lord, wake us up to who you already are. Wake us up to the true value that you've put inside of us, God, and the true destiny. Beyond distractions. Beyond what we call busyness, beyond idols. We need more of you, God. It's all for you and through you. Lord, help us to realize that it's not really just about more of any specific thing, but we have everything that you gave us. You gave your whole self. You didn't just put part of yourself on the cross. You gave your whole self, Jesus. So we give you our whole self. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I had a little bit of a teaching layout, and I'll see if I can kind of stick to it a little bit, but no promises. But we're going to start in Colossians today. I love Colossians. Love Colossians. Like one of my favorite books other than Ephesians, Hebrews, and many others. So Colossians 1, verse 9 to 10. So I was reading this, and I was reading as I love to read, which is just with the author, the Holy Spirit, and allowing him to speak to me. And it's amazing how it can be almost annoying, dare I say, but it's good. But it's like, sometimes I feel like I can't get more than like 5-6 words when I'm reading. Because it's just like, ooh, you know, and then I get sidetracked on something else, and then something else, and something else. But the revelation that comes out of even a few words or just a few verses is amazing. I'm a fan of actually reading the whole book, just reading through. Because sometimes we take one verse and we make like doctrine out of it without like taking it into the proper context. But on the flip side of that, like these days, it's really hard to get past like a very small section. I just love how he does this. So let's just read this. It's first Colossians 1. I'm sorry, Colossians 1, the only one as I know. Verse 9 and 10. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm going to stop there for a second. I love how he wants us to be filled, but I think that sometimes in our church culture, we look at filling and we think of like the battery that needs charging, or the Holy Spirit, you know, filling, and that's all good, or impartations, or whatever. But I love how when he prays for filling, it's actually about knowledge. Knowledge of what or whom? It's Him. It's knowledge of actual, the fullness of what He's actually done for us. Knowledge, that word knowledge, which actually means to have knowledge by personal experience. It's a very relational term. And to have knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That word will is actually very tied into His good pleasure. So it's the knowledge of His pleasure, His reason, which means your reason for being. So Paul, if he's earnestly praying that, like, he could pray for better circumstances, he could pray for lots of amazing things to happen within these people, but he knows that all those things just come and go, but the most important thing is that they know him, and they know the reason. They know. See, in Ephesians it says, to know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's amazing. It's not to feel Christ, although feeling him is amazing. It's not to have the pastor come into town and lay hands on you so that you can, get all revved up. Although that could be cool too, I guess. But it's like he prays that we be filled with the knowledge of God, because in essence, that's all we need. In essence, because man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It's truth that sets you free. It's truth that fills you up. And in that place, no matter what's going on, that's it. To be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The thing that really hit me about that is there's like this theme there of filling and then bearing fruit. Filling and then bearing fruit. So he wants us to be filled with the things of God so that we can bear fruit. And I just want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because I really want us to be able to get, I want us as a church and really as the body of Christ to get how important it is that we understand that it's an inside-out gospel. That there's this thing that happens inside of us. Because for far too long, it always felt like this abstract thing. Or, not even abstract, but the idea of God was out there, and here I am. And that's kind of part of it. But the beautiful thing about this new covenant that we're in is it's inside. It's on the inside. We've talked a lot about that. I'll continue to talk about that. We talked about communion. That's like my favorite. We even did that this morning where, we're talking about, like, in the old, it was all about the outside. It was all about sprinkling. It was all about covering. But in the new, Jesus says these very offensive things, like, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Why? Because what you eat, you become. Your body becomes nourished and you are what you eat. And the blood, instead of being on the outside, it actually says to drink it. And we know that the law says to not. That we respect the life, or the blood of a creature, because the life of the creature is found in the blood. And Jesus, whose life is found in the blood, says, take my blood so that my life can be in you. That's amazing. So it's just this inside-out nature of gospel, because otherwise we walk through the motions and we make disciples in a way that we say, hey, did you pray this prayer? Good, you can get to heaven. Now go ahead, and move on. And unfortunately, a lot of times there's just no change. So we end up saved people, but not regenerated and realizing the fullness of what it means to be born again. So this sort of inside out thing, even in the beginning, it's displayed, in my opinion. So God, let's say that this doesn't look like God. Definitely doesn't. But God, out of the fullness of who he is, out of his character, out of his nature, had a thought. It all started here. Because it started on the inside. He had you in mind for a long time. And he had the earth in mind for a long time. And everything that God created was good. Why was it good? Because it started with him. He spoke into existence. And whatever comes out of the mouth of God is good. Because he's good, right? So, we see this theme of something was welling up here. He spoke and things became. What's amazing is, did you ever realize this? That God created everything except man. He made man. He said, let us make man in our own image. And he speaks everything into existence out of nothing. But man, he actually created out of something. Or made out of something. Dirt. But it was a picture of that earthen material that he would form and fashion. I love that picture because he's Like, to me, that kind of speaks of the intimate nature of God, where he wants to be involved. He wants to be hands-on. He wants his hands to be in our lives in that intimate way, forming and fashioning us. It's almost like that beautiful picture of the earthenware, the clay, that gets formed and fashioned into a vessel. Vessel for what? To hold him. So I just love that picture of creation, how that works. And then, so that was a little aside with how he made man, but I just love that picture. But what he does is out of here, he speaks and he does, right? He speaks and he forms man and just does things out of who he is. And it was the overflow. And then he creates these everything to then produce after its own kind. That's that theme. He creates different things and he says, you will reproduce, like reproduce. So you'll produce after your own kind. It's kind of like that with us. I believe that in a way you kind of create every day. Because Jesus said, out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. And it's really this mind, it's the soul of man. It's here and here that whatever is happening here is going to affect. This is so cool. I don't have another mic to hold. Oh my gosh, I love this. It's like, why do I feel so free? That's why. Actually, first Jesus. But the mic thing is just amazing. Okay, so something's welling up here, right? And something affected us here first. What?
Two very active hands.
Yes. Yes, always active. Okay, so something is coming up, coming here, and it's forming and fashioning. It's an overflow, but something came to us first, right? So, you know, it's down the family tree, however you want to break it up, because I'm kind of showing a picture of how the world works as we understood it. I'll explain that in a second. But anyway, with all of your experiences and your past and everything that's been fed to you, now something is like, you know, welling up here and here. And what happens is it starts kind of like the Lord as a thought. Then it's a verbal, it's speaking, it becomes a word. So out of here and here comes a word, and something happens, and something is put out into the atmosphere. But what happens is it doesn't just float here. It actually kind of lands on something else, right? And then maybe this also manifests as something that you do. So whatever you do affects someone else as well. Then what happens is they've got their own deal, and so out of all these different experiences and different things going on, then they in turn also affect something else, affect the world around them, and affect someone else. And it's just one big family of stuff. All right, so in essence, this could be one of those messages about, wow, look how important your words are. Like, watch what you do, because everything affects someone else, which in turn affects someone else, right? So obviously that's huge responsibility. You know, we watch our words and we watch our actions, because it all affects someone, and it's responsibility. There is actually accountability for our actions, right? There's accountability. We are to be held accountable for our actions. But there's good news, because this might seem kind of like impossible, because this is kind of a self-discipline, self-determination, self-management type of system. And unfortunately, the message that I usually hear from the church focuses on here and here, but not in here. What I'm trying to get at today is I want to focus on here, because Jesus said that's the inside of a cup that makes a man clean. I also want to paint another picture real fast. So I'm a gardener, as you know, and I've got these strawberry plants, and they are amazing because they grow in the ground, and as long as their root systems are pretty happy, they're doing well, they will do two things: bear fruit. I should color that in red. But they bear fruit, and they also reproduce. They produce after their own kind, right? As long as they are who they are, they're able to be what they are, and they're relatively healthy, they will do this thing where they shoot out a runner, and on that runner, it's a whole nother baby plant. It's pretty cute, actually. And so in that plant, there's the information to now start a new plant and then bear fruit. It's kind of like with your words, because if someone says something to someone else, if someone says something to you, and it affects you, or someone says something to someone and it affects that person, what happens is, like, you know, there's like a tie from here to there. And so bitterness produces bitterness. Joy produces joy in someone else, right? And what happens is, like, say there's forgiveness and repentance. This person comes to this person and says, I want to make it right. Something's not cool. As long as there's that, you know, sort of sorrow, regret, like, hey, if I could take it back, I wouldn't do it. That's called repentance. That's called, like, breaking it off on their end. Because here, that makes everything that they did, like, as far as them, it unties them in a sort of fashion, okay? But here, they can either forgive or not forgive. If they don't forgive, then this is still kind of rooted and connected there, and they're actually carrying something that this person might be free of in God's eyes. But if they actually also say, oh yeah, I forgive you, then they cut their end off, and this thing falls to the ground, you know, powerless. I'm going to come back to the forgiveness, but it's almost kind of like the strawberry plant. I don't know why I'm drawing so much today. Today's it's just all drawing. So the strawberry plant, okay, it's kind of like the same thing. So, you know, if this thing is actually enabled to take root, then you have a connection. If it's not, it's just on the plant. Okay? If it takes root, then you have something else that is rooted and then also produces fruit in turn. Say this is a negative thing, that's not a good thing, right? Kind of comes back to like that mulch thing that I was talking about several months ago. If that mulch is there, then this ground is impenetrable. And I want to tell you that forgiveness, it's as simple as that. The whole way that we forgive is really as simple as this, but there's a further truth. There's a reality that you can step into and live by where you're becoming like Jesus, you have his heart, and you're actually non-offendable. That's not a word, is it? Unoffendable, there's no way that you can even take offense because I actually didn't, I don't exist today for you to love me. I'm here to love you. Because love is selfless, it only gives, period. Only gives. The return is fun, but it only gives. So if my hope and who I am and my identity all is resting upon what you think of me, I'm in trouble. And so I'm kind of a sitting duck for who knows what, resentment, because my day is decided by you. That makes you God, in essence, to me. Because there's only one that deserves that place, and it's the Lord. So since he's done me so right, what can you possibly do? Even if you do me so wrong, why does that affect who I am? I'm full of him. I'm full and impenetrable because that thing can't penetrate. So this can come flying at me all at once. I mean, it's on this person. And if this person comes to their senses, guess what? It hasn't even taken root here. I'm like, oh, dude, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll say I forgive you just because that'll help set them free. Yeah, but the fact is I'm already free because I'm already in forgiveness. So I want to say about this, basically the aside as it pertains to forgiveness is that forgiveness is actually a state of being. It's not just the moment in time. It's not just a decision. I applaud you for when you make the decision to forgive, but I want to encourage you that there's even a greater level of maturity, a greater level of reality where that thing doesn't even hurt you to begin with. So Jesus, when he's like on the cross or like, you know, whenever someone snapped at him, they couldn't get him. They couldn't. Why? Because he was love. Love already. See, do you know how that's possible? Because I feel like some people in here might be like, well, that's a fun thought of already being in that place of forgiveness. And it's not even a matter of deciding to forgive. I'm already there. How that's possible is to walk in love, how that's possible. And what helps a whole lot is realizing who people are and seeing them through God's eyes and not any other way. So the gospel showed me that Jesus didn't just die for me because he loved me, took pity on me, and he said, well, wow, like you're horrible, but I'll be nice and forgive you. That's not how it went down. God didn't all of a sudden decide like, oh man, oh, Evan is like, pfft. He really hurt me a lot. I mean, all those years that he rejected me and didn't care about me and didn't listen to me and breathed my air and thought he didn't need me. All these things that Evan did. Well, yeah, I guess I'll forgive him. No, because he is love. And it was expressed by the Son on the cross. So he didn't forgive me just to be nice. Niceness is not one of the fruit of the Spirit, and niceness doesn't always equate to love. He is love. And because he loved, he never lost sight of his calling and destiny and value that he assigned to me from day one. God's intent looks like Jesus, and God's intent looks like Eden. In a lot of these Old Covenant, New Covenant discussions, it's like we look in the Old Covenant and we see kind of a messy situation sometimes, and we kind of attribute that to God and his nature. Well, actually it changed, or like, you know, what was he thinking, whatever. Well, no, actually God's intent was Eden. Everything else, I mean, like the Old Covenant was given in a certain response, and even then, his original intent was for Israel to be a kingdom of priests. So their kingship would be found in their priesthood. What is a priest? A priest is a direct relationship with God to show the people, in this case, the rest of the earth, what he's like. That was his intent for even Israel, okay? So his intent is Eden. His intent is for me to be just like him and enter into relationship with him again. So as soon as I begin to understand about myself, that gives me reason, purpose, a reason behind my life. Like, why are we doing all this? Kevin asked the same question. Like, you were just sharing that yesterday, last night, about like, why? Like, why the cross? Because he loves me. But yeah, but like, why? And it's because he knows who you are. He knew who you were all along. He created you for this, for his image, his likeness, and for that beautiful union of relationship. So when you get a piece of that and it lands here, it gets you in the heart, and you realize, oh, wow, that's how you saw me, God, and that's how you see me, then how can you possibly not see other people that way? And what you do is say, Lord, wow. So help me to have those eyes for everyone around me. And I'm telling you, that's an amazing prayer. Like, Lord, help me to see people and situations too, but help me to see people the way you see them. And so from your own experience of actually experiencing that forgiveness in a really deep and whole way, now forgiveness is not really hard. I'm just being honest, it's not. It's not a hard thing. It's actually easy. Like, really, it's like easy because it's here, it's living in you, and it's your reality. Like, you're benefiting off of that forgiveness all the time. Like, otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. It'd be like that guy who is, you know, it'd be like the parable where he's forgiven like $1 million and he like beats up his old buddy because he owes him like $50. You know, that doesn't make sense, right? Any thoughts about that? I just wanted to like do a quick checkpoint on forgiveness. You on the subject of forgiveness before we move on?
Forgiveness, offense. You have to work at offense. You have to put energy into offense. You have to do something to maintain offense or to maintain what is actually hatred. Because offense is a shade of hatred. And so you have to work at it. It's always putting yourself out. Where if you're just loving, there's nothing you have to do but love.
Yeah. I love it. I would just amend that by saying, like, even the offending, you do have to work at it, but just like the good thing and the bad thing, it's also out of an overflow of what's gone into you. Well, what your experiences are, even what your genealogical records are. See, but all of that at the cross is cut off. And we've done a teaching on that where we kind of just like hit that whole thing about like the curses and blessed and cursed thing or whatever. And it's like, we just love to step back there. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, sorry, guys, I have to take away your curses. And sorry, I know we love our curses, but in Christ, there are none. You know, it's like this, it's just like getting out of this mindset. But because at some point, we allow the reality of what he's offered to become our reality. Like at some point, I've said this before, it's like at some point, like we have to stop with like the reasons why not. At some point, we begin to accept the reasons why. Yes, you're like, okay, Lord, like you're offering it. I'm going to accept it. That's a beautiful thing. Oh man, that's sad. I want her to stay in here. Hopefully she comes back. Okay. Let's just, I'm just going to jump ahead. Well, not jump ahead. I'm going to move on. And this is that lovely drawing that I always love to do, right? We have, I just want to break this down a little bit because it's really helpful to kind of get this and how it works and just get the full picture. So body, soul, spirit. Paul says, I want to see you sanctified through and through, body, soul, spirit, or soul, spirit, or spirit, soul, body. It's a beautiful picture. It kind of paints who we are, and it also informs us that it's all good. Everything God made is good. He made your bodies. Guess what? Your bodies are good. You know, yes, like there is the flesh, the old nature, but then there's a transformation that happens as he wants to come in and transform us first spirit, then into our soul, then into our body. It's a beautiful thing. And when this actually reaches its fullness, watch out, I might just beam up, you won't see me anymore. It's like, you know, like it's the Enoch type of experience where like, wow, there's like this fullness ever and even, you know, there's something going on in the body. But anyway, your spirit, soul, body, right? And then there's also like, this is the better picture of it. Okay? Spirit, soul, body. And then, you know, there's the outer courts of the tabernacle. There's the holy place. And there's the most holy place, right? It's kind of like a picture of how we're... And also, body is like our interface, our interaction with the world. So what's going on inside my inner man, you can't see with your physical eyes, but you can see the effects of it, right? So if I'm smiling, that means I'm happy in my inner man, right? And then there's the soul. That's like the will, the authority seat, the essence of who I am, my mind and my will and my emotions. And then there's a spirit, which is breath of God, both in the Hebrew and the Greek. It's a wind, air, breath, the very life force of God that empowers me and makes me alive and makes me who I am. So, you know, obviously at the at creation, there was a death that happened here and a separation. And so we were kind of left to fend for ourselves through everything physical, because since there's a death here, there's a cutoff from love himself. I was in unity, I was in relationship, I was in love, but now I'm cut off from God, because guess what? Before, as long as I'm alive here, I'm actually one. Like I'm one with Christ, so one with Him, one with the Father. Paul tells the Corinthians that we are unified, united with Christ. And one with the Father in spirit, one in spirit with God. That's quite amazing. But now at the fall, as that happened, now there's this death here. And so everything's being processed through different gates, your ears, your eyes, your experiences, your touch, like everything through your senses that you're experiencing in this world is through here. And then you're processing it through your soul that is in its old nature. And then everything comes back out that way. Remember this? All right? And then we know the good news is the gospel. Jesus comes and he says, to enter the kingdom, you must be born again. So there's this born again experience that happens here. And he comes in, see, the same way, through the gates. So through our big ears, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God, right? We hear the word in our ears, and it gets processed and received by our soul, and bam, there's this implantation, there's this insert of the seed, and the Holy Spirit, as we become born again, takes up residence in us, right? It's like he comes and And you know, you've all seen me do this, but he comes and he goes past the outer courts, right? Past the holy place and into the deepest part of us, into the most holy place. And he deposits something here, and he takes up residence, and now I'm alive from the inside out. Also, there's this veil that is now torn, and we have access to the things of the Spirit. So the beautiful thing is, now things come in the same gateways, okay, of our natural senses, but our perspective can be shaped by this. Now, like these two are sharing space, and there's this influence of the Spirit into our soul, into our mind, will, and emotions, and now we're able to process things here like that, and then it comes out this way in a good way. Does that make sense? Anyone getting that? It's a little fast-paced, but what else is new? Okay. So again, it's something that... So cute. I love noise. I love... Who else loves baby noises? That just gets me every time. Like, it gets me even like more than how cute they are, like, you know, physically. And I mean, that's really... That says something. It's just the noises, the breathing, the... Like, the newness of life. Oh, man. Okay. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know, man. I wouldn't know. I love my wife. We honor our women and everything they do. Okay, so that's just a picture. That's a messy picture now, but what a picture of how this works from the inside. I want to focus on the inside. I want our focus to always be on the inside, because Jesus always brought it back to the inside. They'd always try to like get him with something. He's like, nope. Like, and every response was like, no, actually, I'm looking at the inside, right? So this is a beautiful picture of how it works. Like, we're able to process here. There's a theme that we're going to finish off with in a few minutes, is that you share heart and mind space with the Lord. Like, okay, because he's taking up residence here, and the Holy Spirit is living within your spirit, man, and it's a beautiful thing. And now there's this interaction, you know, like there are gates from here to here and from here to here, and there's this way that you could interact that way. But again, it's not really like you're three separate persons. It's more like this. And by the way, I love, I think I've said this before, but I love how we are created in his image. So like, Our physical representation, us in the flesh, our interaction with the world, that's Jesus. Jesus was God made flesh, and the way that he was able to interact with this world in a physical, tangible way was through becoming man, right? So being representative in man, that's Jesus, the Son, and then soul, the sort of authority seat, like the essence of who we are, the will, the mind of God, bam, that's the Father. And then the Spirit, God has a Spirit. So it's kind of cool how we kind of break ourselves up that way. I know there, girl. I know. Okay. Another thing is... in sexual relations, when a man and a woman come together, there's this beautiful thing that happens, because she opens herself up to him and lets him in. She receives him, and he goes in past the outer courts, which is representative of her physical representation, into her very nature, like through, into her soul and into her spirit. And we've said this before, there's a really neat thing that's happening scientifically. They've actually discovered that there's this flicker, very, very, very short flash of light. And like, it's believed now in the scientific community that that's the split second that conception happens, that the sperm meets the egg and boom, that life happens, which is amazing. Like, you know, many people like are saying, wow, that's like that interaction when that soul and spirit realm and the physical realm meet, and it becomes a person. So she lets him in, he comes into her, deposits something, right? And what happens is she becomes impregnated with that seed. It's exactly what happens with us. We receive God into ourselves, and we can even pray that way, like, Lord, continue just to come into me and release who you are in me. It's not weird at all. Release who you are in me so I can get impregnated with your word, impregnated with who you are, so that what I produce looks just like you in this world. And I can't end it without doing the fun. You were waiting for it. So that's a real crooked one that time. But you have that, you have the menorah, and I love that we are to tend every gateway, every part of who we are. See, like the candle stand would have this. I forget what they call it. What do they call it, Joyce? It's like that part of the flower. It's like named after that, and it's filled with oil. Yeah, well, each one is filled with oil. We want to be filled with oil every, like, it's not just for one part of us. It's like, light us up, baby. I'm lit. So he comes to fill all in all, every part of me. My body is not flesh and evil, right? My body is good because he made it. And that fire was never to go out. Yeah, they were to be diligent and always. That was part of the job of the priest, to always look, make sure that it was filled with oil. I want to be like the virgins, ready, filled with oil, always filled with the oil of the Lord, always in expectation and love and just keeping it going. It's not meant to go out. And again, with every bit of my members, oh man, that's a wonderful teaching. You go into the seven spirits of God and all that good stuff, and maybe next time. All right. I'll wrap up soon. Sometimes I'm struck with that task of like running and then bring it full circle. Like, okay, you've launched, like, now how do you like land? So yes. Here's the idea here, okay? We let God into the deepest part of us, in that place of intimacy, right? Because remember, she opens herself to him. He's with her. She's with him. And by the way, there's covenant, right? I mean, that's so much better than just, hey, kids, don't have sex, because it's bad to before marriage. There's so much meaning in sex. Like Paul, you know, Paul says, it's like, wow, what a beautiful mystery in this whole thing, and man and woman coming together, husband and wife. What an amazing representation of something huge. But really, I'm really referring to Christ and the church, he says, right? What a beautiful tie and parallel, because when they come together, that veil, the hymen, there's a reason why women have that, right? And it can only be torn once. Once it's torn, you're in, that's it, right? So that it's torn, there's blood spilled, and there you have it, there's covenant. The two becoming one, two coming together into the most intimate agreement that I could ever imagine as far as this earth presents, as far as any kind of physical representation. And here Paul is saying, wow, what a mystery of Christ and the church, because we come into blood covenant with God, the blood of Jesus, right? And we allow what he puts in us to totally change us. And here's the biggest lesson from that. Unless you come into that place of intimacy with the Lord, you will not be fruitful. It's the way that you birth something beautiful and express and overflow and show the world what he is like is out of knowing him, period. We can listen to sermons all day. We can listen to great preaching. And honestly, like, I'm always trying to get a good lesson here, like something meaty and really great. But like, what's any of it worth? Like, unless we actually have that intimate time with him where it becomes our reality, where we own it, and we can have, like, it's almost like listening to a sermon every moment with God, but it's infinitely better because it's God giving you the sermon. So it's him coming into you and you guys coming into that place, you and the Lord FaceTime, face to face, like Kirsten preached several months ago, face to face time with the Lord. And out of that place, now you can be productive. We all want to be fruitful, But sometimes we live in sort of that McDonald's culture of like, you know, I just want some results. I want some stuff. I want to learn how to do this stuff. And that's all like, it's all good, but it'd be worthless without intimacy with him, without relationship. It's out of relationship and intimacy that that can flow. So when we wonder, how is this possible? How can I possibly speak only good things? Only good things. How can I, you know, in the theme of watching what you say and realizing the responsibility that you have, how could I not hurt people? How could I respond in forgiveness and have this cut off right away so that this cannot take root? How can I be that mulched soil? How could I be overflowing with my heart so that my actions are all good? Well, it is possible. It's just, it's death and born again in him, right? It's co-burial, co-resurrection, and then coming into that place of intimacy where you become more like him, period. So again, I never want to focus on, hey, watch your words and watch your actions. I'd rather focus on your heart and your mind. Does that make sense? Because that's what Jesus did. And if you feel like it's impossible because it's not in your heart that way, then we realize that we get a new heart because he offers us a new one. So to wrap this up, I want to kind of end with like kind of a call, and it's going to be out of 1 Corinthians. That's why I almost said 1 Colossians. That's funny. 1 Corinthians 2. But that really is, see, like a lot of times we talk about transformation, we talk about good fruits, we talk about good works because works are important. They are. Obviously, it's not how you're saved, but they reveal everything that you believe. You know, like without works, like what good is it? Like, you know, James is like, okay, I'll show you my faith by my works. Like it reveals what's in here, right? Again, it reveals what's welling up in here and your works follow because of that. So when we talk about these things, we always have to realize that we look for practical application. Well, how can I do this more? How could I become more like the one that God wants me to be? And there really is a formula, actually. It's faith that works through love and grace that works through faith. When I love God, it releases faith. When I have faith in him and actually own the truths that he speaks over me all the time, very easy way. Here's a cheat sheet. Whenever I can read about what he says about me it might be contradictory temporarily to what I'm feeling and what I think about me or what other people think about me. I can be like a child and say, whoa, yay, okay, and say, okay, and receive it and begin to meditate on that. Lord, like, I don't even get this. I don't see this in my own life, but I'm going to believe in you. You say that I'm in Christ, so I'm a new creation. That means like brand new, like, new creation. All the old things have gone. It doesn't feel like they're gone, but Lord, I'm gonna believe it. They're gone. And the new has come. And just making that word your reality, owning it, taking it into you. And that's just one example. And we're coming into that secret, beautiful place, that quiet place with him and spending time with the Lord and saying, Lord, I need to get this, make this my reality. You will get that. You will begin to overflow with his life because that's the gospel that we preach. That's the gospel is like it's overflowing. It's not like, oh, I'm on empty. I have to go get something or I have to go express worship, which is, it is this, but it's also actually this. It's realizing that he is in me. So it's actually realizing that the gospel is a spring of living water that's always flowing, always going. I don't have to recharge. I don't have to like come get some of your water. Like, here, sister, let me put my bucket under here and just pour out in, man. And sometimes we are that for each other. But I'd rather convince you that you actually have your own source.
Yes, that's good.
That's in you and it's always flowing. That's a beautiful thing because when you get that, like, you won't be, it just won't be the leech-like Christianity that we're used to. I'm just being honest. You know what I mean? Look, when we come together, it's like explosive because out of my fullness and your fullness and our fullness, we're together and yay. You know, like let's get this thing on with Jesus, you know, instead of like, you know, like all the issues that we perceive are issues. So to wrap up, I want to wrap up for the fifth wrap up. I want to read 1 Corinthians 2, and it's mostly the second half. Let's just start with verse 6. I'll start a little early because we love context, and we'll read from 6 to the end of chapter 2. This chapter of Corinthians, like, it blows my mind. It's like, it's amazing. Okay. All right, I'm determined to just read. No extra commentary. Just read through. Okay, here we go. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom. Okay, I broke my rule already. Isn't that beautiful? Like, it's he's talking about this age. I don't know if anyone's translation says world, but the correct translation is age there. He's saying, like, we're still, and I know that, you know, I did this some months ago, but we're still in this awkward period of around 40 years where we know the gospel, we know Jesus, we've entered into the new covenant, yet the old one is still, like, active. It's literally still active. Like, they're still doing the thing at, you know, they're sacrificing, they're doing what they're doing for another 40 years until it was completely destroyed, until that train just blew up, right? It was derailed, and it was no longer valid in God's eyes, but there was that parallel time of both covenants actually being side by side, and who's the son, I'm sorry, it was Jacob and, no, I know Jacob and Esau, but I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. Abraham. Okay, Ishmael and Isaac, and Ishmael, the son of the slave woman, was actually, say it again.
Hagar.
Yes, Hagar, Ishmael was persecuting Isaac. Thanks, guys, we need each other. So, yeah, and it was that time of, like, it was heavy persecution, but Paul is saying, there's something in me, we have this secret, this mystery that's been revealed to us apostles, right? And it's wisdom that does not exist otherwise in this age, or the rulers of this age. He's not talking about right now, he's talking about that age that was soon to end, about 40 years later. Who are doomed to pass away. And there you go. That's that doom. We can talk about that. It's really amazing history. Okay. Oh gosh. I totally broke my all right. I was really ready to do that, and then I went on that rabbit trail. It's okay. Verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Okay, this is where it gets really good. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So the Holy Spirit searches everything, and it knows the deepest thoughts and intents of our Father. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? Did the light go out? Who's darker over there? Oh, okay. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Wow. Let me just stop there. So what he's saying is, like, Kevin, in his inner man, there's stuff happening. It's unseen, so I can't necessarily perceive what's going on in there. I can't perceive his thoughts right now. Or maybe. But, like, he's thinking stuff, and something's brewing, right? But I can't perceive that, except for his own spirit, his own inner man. Kevin knows, right? The same way, in the same way, no one can perceive what God, like the intents and thoughts of his heart and his mind, right? Except God himself. But then Paul says, guess what? you have the Spirit of God. Remember, like the Spirit of God is the only one that knows what God is thinking. You have received the Spirit of God. That's crazy. That's like, that's going back to, we'll wrap it with one of the things we began with, is you share heart and mind space with God. His Spirit lives within your spirit man. And guess what? There's always this engaging that can be going on between your mind and his mind. And it's a beautiful union. And that, like, I hope we could just, like, we will end it right there. We'll just finish the scripture. But the call is this, like, tomorrow you're doing something, probably. Tomorrow today you're living. How does this reality affect your reality? How does this affect what you do? Knowing this, it doesn't matter if you feel it or not. Like, what if we actually come more to grips with that reality? Talk about the prophetic and so much more. It's not just walking in the power of the prophetic, but even more so, I'll show you an even greater way, that's love. We love to pray on earth as it is in heaven, right? Like, well, there's no, like, you know, legs missing in heaven. There's no, you know, kidneys damaged in heaven. And I love that. It's really good. But what about, like, the characters? What about the characteristics of God? What about, like, offense and resentment and unforgiveness and love and the kindness and mercy of God, right? But yeah, so what? How does that affect you when you actually share mind space with God? What a beautiful picture of old versus new covenant, right? The covenant that he's honoring with us, the only covenant that God is honoring right now. Are we on that? Because that's really important. Okay, in the old, it was like, oh, how much greater are my ways than your ways? How much higher are my thoughts than your thoughts, declares the Lord. Yet this beautiful thing happens where in this new covenant, he actually invites us into his very thoughts and his very ways. And he actually wants us to take them for himself, for ourselves, and go and show the world what God is like. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. We're here. We're here to manifest Christ to the world. That's it. Back to Eden. You know, he creates man in his image, his likeness, all that stuff, injects who he is, his glory, and then he says, go be fruitful and multiply. Not just having babies. It's releasing who he is in this world, his character, his nature. Yes. Whoa. Wow. So God invites us into his very nature to share it. Okay. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Whew. Tomorrow I'm living. I'm going somewhere. You know, there's a place that I'm going to be going to, and there's hurt, and there's wreckage, and there's devastation, and all this stuff, whatever. And how does that affect what I do when I'm there? To know that my mind is shared with his, and he's shared his nature with me. He lives in me. I don't know about you guys, I'm still blown away. Like, he lives in us. Like, he lives in you. And it's not just because he, like, you know, he pulled his arm hard enough. Like, he loves living in you. He loves it there. He likes it there. What happens when we become more and more engaged with that reality? What happens when that reality becomes real? Because it is, because it's truth. How is that going to affect my actions, my words? My actions, my words. When he lives in me. No longer having to depend on my own self-discipline, self-management. I mean, all that stuff it's got some value, but why that when you could actually have him in you and know that you're sharing that same space? So what are you doing today? Who are you? Like, I hope we could all honestly ask that question. And even when we don't totally understand it, Lord, may we begin to understand it. And that's it. So Lord, well, we actually have 4 minutes. Are you proud of me? My wife. No, just kidding. No, that's amazing. I cannot believe it. We have 4 minutes left. And that was like, I know. No, that's amazing. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We landed. We landed the ship. Okay, what's up? Yeah, please do. You want to turn that mic on? Oh, it's on. What's up?
Yeah, last night Kevin was sharing and John and I were speaking. I think it's an extremely valuable lesson for all of us to be learned. We were talking about the offenses that come, and tells us in the scriptures to guard your heart with all diligence, because it's of extreme importance. And John was indicating, you know, how many well known in the body are offended, and it just can't be, because if we That's don't right. forgive, then our Father can't forgive us if we're harboring those things. And I think a big part of the teaching it has to come forth in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, Paul, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, meaning he was able to forgive and be released from those. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If it's taught to Christians that it's coming, the fiery darts, and it's interesting how they're quenched with the full armor of God, that the now faith, substance, and evidence, but it's that shield of faith that is the shield that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy that's coming. It's interesting that that's the means.
That's great.
To guard the heart. So I just wanted to share that because it is valuable, very important for us to live free of offenses, knowing the tools that are needed, necessary, the shield of faith, those things that will help us to guard our hearts, to be free and live like this most valuable teaching came forth today from Mr.
Amen.
Evan.
Amen. In my wife's great wisdom, she knew I wasn't done. Lord. Real quick. So what's amazing about the forgiveness thing, just in case, this is good, just in case there is someone who's like, okay, well, I love that. Thanks for sharing that, because sometimes there are these arrows that come our way, and they land, and they really feel like they're still in there. And if you're in here saying, like, okay, this is good, but, you know, like, I really feel like there's actually still an arrow, like, in my heart, you know, and how do I get that forgiveness? I've done this, I've done that, and I've done, and whatever, and I've tried to walk through, and do the forgiveness thing, whatever, would it be weird and controversial if I said, actually, let me not focus on that for a minute with you? What about your own relationship with God? I want to know how you know his forgiveness. Like, do you know how forgiven you are and what that looks like in your life and why? Because if you experience his forgiveness and actually understand the why behind it, because in the why behind it, it's actually like that's where his love is found and his destiny for your life. And it's like, whoa. In that, when you get that, I promise you that this thing will just melt away. Like, it won't even be able to stick anymore. So it won't be a matter of like, well, what hoop do I have to jump through next? Because we're all about jumping through hoops, and we got all these little, you know, we create these doctrines of go back and this and that or whatever. But what if, like Pat was saying, what if you were shielded and that arrow could never even stick? It just, like, you know, pops right off. It just bounces off. Yeah, that's possible. But what if it's really not, the answer is not in what should I do next? And what if that question is actually a dead giveaway that we have it wrong? It's not about our doing. But what did God do for me, and how can I get a hold of that? Because if I get a hold of that, I know that I can now forgive. Like, freely, like, be in a place of forgiveness, like, a nature, forgiveness is like a nature, it's like a heart posture that you can just be in all the time, promise, like, all the time. Anything else, anyone else? That was good, man, thanks. Okay, time to go home. All right, so Lord, we thank you for your word, Thank you for how you land on our hearts, God, and I pray that that would be the arrow that comes in and pierces and never leaves, Lord. Let your word and all of its intent, everything behind it, never go out void, but accomplish what it's going to do, Lord. Let our hearts be like that ground that soaks up the rain. Lord, we thank you. May we be changed. May we be changed by what we heard. May we grow closer and closer to you, Lord. And I pray that we would all be like, just spend that time, be like that center candle, be in that place of intimacy, Lord, with you, so we can know you that much better. I mean, no matter where we are, it's like, no matter what's going on, Lord, there's nothing better. There's no better calling. There's no better gift and honor than to be yours, to be everything that you've said we are, to be humble before you and give you the honor of believing who you said we are, and just being with you, Lord, just being with you in that place, in the quiet, when no one else is looking. Holy Spirit, I ask that you move on our hearts, Lord, in a great and mighty way today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your truth. It sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week.